time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everybody. It's a blessing to be with you this morning, and we're glad that you're with us today. I believe this is the 12th of April, and this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24, Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank you for joining us for worship and wellness. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship, and now we pray for your spirit to abide with us. Help us today as we hear your word. Anoint the words for our pastor. Fill him with your spirit and bless us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. Friends, all you have to do is just watch the news and you know Jesus is coming very soon.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King.
Oh, excuse me.
It's about time. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O
Yes, my brothers and sisters, our title for worship is The Tongue is a Fire. We're studying James chapter 3, but I've titled it The Tongue is a Fire. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful for truth. We thank you for righteousness and principles that guide us and that keep us from every false way. We ask that you would help us to understand that sometimes it's the little things that we do that make so much of a difference to be a blessing, so much of a difference to be a curse. We ask that you would help us to govern our tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So what does this mean in this verse? Those who are in higher positions have higher accountability. And so if you're watching the news, you will see whether it's Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. Brothers and sisters, the principle in the Bible is not that you're above the law in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, you have a greater condemnation. You have a greater responsibility to be accountable. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. So that means you're going to offend. And even Jesus said, you know, you're going to offend, but it says, woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. You might offend somebody because you love and tell the truth, and you tell it in love. That can still offend people if they have sin in their life, insecurities, and things of this nature. But friends, we need to be to the point where we want godly counsel. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, not because he did everything right. David actually committed adultery. David, fornication at least. Yeah, it would be adultery because Bathsheba was married. He committed adultery. He committed murder. But God said he's a man after his own heart. Of course, he had to repent, and he was punished for those things. But when Nathan said, thou art the man, David stood up and said, yes, I have sinned. He was repentant. And he said, I deserve to die. God says, I'm not going to kill you, but you're going to, but he had already pronounced on the man that Nathan had come. Nathan basically said a man, he gave a parable, but David didn't know it was a parable. He said a man came to town, a man was in town, was very, very rich, and it was a poor man who had but just one little ewe lamb. And he said, when somebody came to town, the rich man wanted to, you know, entertain him. So instead of using one of his millions of flocks, he stole the one little ewe lamb from the poor man. David said, I can't believe that. Because, you know, the king was the judge. He could sentence. So David said he should pay fourfold. He should die and pay fourfold. And that was his sentence. Four of his sons were to die. So he was punished. Right? So sometimes we think that we are to be the punishers. And so when somebody does something we don't like, instead of praying for them and entreating them and all that, we just turn away from them like they did the most despicable thing in the world. And instead of reaching out to them, you know, how is it that we're supposed to go and reach out to the people in prison? We're supposed to actually do prison ministry. A lot of those, not all of them, but a lot of those people did very bad things. We're supposed to go to them. And if we think somebody in the church did something that we don't think is right, we just have nothing to do with them. Do you see how inconsistent our Christian walk is, brothers and sisters? We don't have the love of God. And oftentimes the person you think did something didn't even do it. But you were told, which will bring us to our message a little bit, the point of our message. So David lost the baby that Bathsheba was pregnant with. David lost Adonijah, who wanted to take over and take the throne. Then he lost who was the guy that was, they say was so good looking with Absalom, okay? And there was another son that he lost, but I forgot who that was. So my point is that David lost four sons. He gave the sentence to the proverbial rich man. and that sentence was put upon him. So God does punish evil, brothers and sisters. But David is a man after God's own heart because he would repent and be honest and say, I was wrong. Okay? And that trait is very little seen. Little seen among people in the church, and it's very little seen among leadership to be able to say, you know, I was wrong. And I should not have, I taught you something that was wrong. And I want to apologize because God has shown me the truth. How many ministers willing to say that? I don't know too many, brothers and sisters. All right, let's look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. So you put a little bitty bit in that big old horse. You put it in the mouth and it can, you know, so you can turn that bit and it turns that head, okay? We put bit in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are turned, they turn about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So he's just giving examples that something little can control something big. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Little member, boasteth great thing, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now let me tell you something. We often, and we're going to, talk about how that's evil. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We just had a testimony of someone who went into a store and just spoke to people, just spoke to everybody. And she was just giving her testimony how it just like brightened people's day, just lit up. You know, some of you all are introverts, and I get it. You know, that's just not what you do naturally. Some of us are just extroverts. That's just what we do naturally. But I'm going to tell you that I have seen that, and it shocks people, and it's in a positive way. So when I go and I get out of my vehicle and there's somebody else getting in or out of their vehicle, I say, hello, how are you? And you could tell they just weren't expecting that, you know. And they will remember you, brothers and sisters. They will remember you. You know, I'm going to give you a little story real quickly. I was falsely arrested once, and now we're going to be, all of us will be looked for to be under arrest in the last days where they're going to try to persecute God's people. But I was falsely arrested, and when I was falsely arrested, the judge saw through the whole thing, and it was an issue of racism. And he told the DA, he said, I know these people. This is the guy who walks in the park and speaks to everybody. I don't believe he's guilty. Now, I don't even know who that judge was. I've never seen, he noticed me. I didn't notice him. You know, I just speak to people in the park as I was walking in the park. So the point being made, brothers and sisters, is my speaking and walking in the park brought me favor. But the Lord used it. I wasn't speaking to people just so that the judge who might notice me might say something to me later. The bottom line, friends, is that it can do good things. You know, I knew this brother. He started a ministry, and his, I don't know whatever happened to him, but it was very interesting, and I was so interested in his ministry because all his ministry did was encourage people. I mean, that's all they did. They had a whole system. They would get people who would get on phones and they would write letters, but all of it was to encourage people. That's all they did. And as last time I checked, the ministry was prospering, and that's all they did. They just encouraged people. Okay? People need encouragement. We have a lot of darkness and trouble and challenges. That's why the suicide rate is up high. That's why there's so many mass shootings and all these kinds of things, friends. So you can encourage people with your tongue, just saying, hello, how are you doing? I'm praying for you. Just pray with them. You know, there's so much you can do. It doesn't cost money to do that, okay? But now let's flip to the other side, because you can do a lot of evil with that same tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It's a whole world of iniquity right there in your tongue. Just in your mouth is a whole world of sin. So is the tongue among our members. That means it's in the Baptist church, it's in the Methodist church, it's in the Presbyterian church, it's in the Episcopalian church, it's in the non-denominational churches, it's in the Seventh-day Adventist church, it's in the Catholic church. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Brothers and sisters, this is not chauvinistic, but the world usually just defaults to thinking that women do more gossiping than men, okay? I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just telling you that's the perception in the world. But let me tell you something. I've definitely seen some gossiping men. So I told those gossiping men, man, because they're trying to be all macho, but they're using their tongue. I said, man, why are you acting like a girl? And that's not a put down. It was just what had happened was the person, when the person accused me of doing some things, I said, okay, you accused me of doing this. Let's go to the source. So he said, why are you going to do that, man? Don't you be a man? Well, you acting like a girl? No, but you just accused me of saying A, B, and C to this individual. Let's go to this individual so I can tell you, he will tell you I didn't say that. Well, then, of course, he realized he was caught, so he accused me of being like a girl. So then I responded, and I said, no. If you want to say a person is like a girl, then because I'm running to talk, then if that's what it means to be like a girl, then you're acting like a girl because you're just flapping at the mouth, okay? So, again, I'm not buying into everything's all about the women do all the gossiping, but the point being made is that we have a lot of problems in the church. I called that person, told that person he was acting like a girl because that's the accusation he gave me, but he was the one that was gossiping, okay? So, my friend, keep your mouth closed when it comes to stuff you think you hear. Don't repeat a matter that is not glorifying God. And I'll tell you this, if you want to know who's going to heaven, I'm going to show you who's going to heaven. Let's see, Lord, help me now. I think it's in, is it in Psalms chapter 15? Yes, Psalm chapter 15. You should memorize it. It only has 5 verses. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That means who gets to go to heaven? He that walketh uprightly. That means it's not talking about the fact that you can't have osteoporosis. It's talking about you do what is right. Okay, and worketh righteousness. So that means that you're going to heaven when you do the right thing. Those who do the right thing are going to heaven. And speaketh the truth in his heart. That's who's going to heaven, friend. Speaking the truth in your heart. Watch this. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, talking about somebody behind their back. You do that, you're not going to heaven, God is saying. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor. Watch this. Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, this is one that a lot of people don't know what this means. I'm going to tell you what taking up a reproach is. When you listen to an evil report about somebody, but you don't go and give that person an opportunity to clear himself in the matter, you have taken up a reproach. When you listen to an evil report and it affects you, meaning that I better stay away from him, or you start treating that. If it's enough to make you change your posture towards somebody and you don't go, and meaning that you might not speak to them, you might not receive their calls, so on and so forth, you've taken up a reproach. Now, I can prove that to you if you want me to do that, but the bottom line is that's what it means. You take up a reproach, listening to an evil report. Often, that is what precedes gossip. You listened to an evil report. But even if you didn't say anything about it, if it causes you to change your posture. Now, I don't know that you are required by God to go if you don't believe it. If you have just put it out of your mind and it doesn't change anything. But I'll tell you, it stops gossip. when you go and say, listen, okay, you're saying this to me. I'm just letting you know I got to go. I can't just take your word and change my posture. I need to go to that person. Often that person who said it to you, said, oh, don't do that, don't do that, will then stop talking. No, I'm going to do it, but you need to stop talking. Because if you don't want people to go and check out the story, then you shouldn't be telling the story. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, taking up a reproach, again, is listening to an evil report and not going to the source to resolve the issue to see if it's true. And that's what the devil, see, if watch this. Satan was a liar. The Bible says that. So he was lying to all the angels. Just to show you how powerful these are, if the third of the angels had gone to Christ, who followed Satan, had gone to Christ and said, listen, this is what is being said about you. We want to hear your side. If they had just gone to Christ, there would be no demon. You know, a demon is nothing but a fallen angel. Did you know that? So when people say they see ghosts, that's not the spirit of a dead person. The dead know not anything. The Bible says that. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. The Bible tells us, that's in Ecclesiastes 9:5, Psalms, I think, 115:17, the dead praise not the Lord, Psalms 6:5. I forgot what that says, actually, but it lets you know that, oh, in death there is no remembrance of thee, in the grave who shall give thee thanks? So the dead aren't the ghosts that you see. The spirits that you see that, you know, whatever, do things and appear to people and move the paper around the room or whatever it is. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, those are simply evil angels. They're just angels that were once holy, but they have fallen. Now that you understand that, we don't need to be afraid. You just need to rebuke spirits of the devil, okay? That's just evil spirits. That's all it is, okay? They're just fallen angels, and we just need to rebuke them in the name of the Lord and make sure that we have Christ in our homes, brothers and sisters, that we're not doing stuff. If you got a Ouija board in your house, get it out. If you got tarot cards in your house, get them out. If you got some artifacts that might have been sacrificed to idols and stuff like that in your house, get them out, okay? Don't be watching. Now, let me speak better. Don't watch horror movies and things that talk about satanic things. I would not have. You need to call Harry Potter Scary Potter in the sense that you need to get those books out of your house, my friends. And I speak on the authority of God, because we should not have things that speak of demons and danger and darkness and all this kind of stuff, even if it's captivating. When I was in a Christian school, and some of you know what denomination that was, it was a Christian school, and I was in a high school, a boarding academy. We had to study Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan Poe was the writer of the Harry Potter books of his day, okay? He talked about danger and demons and darkness and all this evil stuff. And girls and boys were having nightmares. The girls just admitted it, but the guys were having them too. You know what? I opened that book and I saw what that was about. I refused to read it because I knew it wasn't godly. Now, I'm a teenager, so I made and I'm not bragging, I made an A in the grammar part of English. I refused to read Edgar Allan Poe, but when the test came, if they said, well, what did it mean that when he said the demon was floating through the leaves of the trees and the darkness was dank and whatever. I mean, you know, he just, whatever. I just put, you know, the Lord is good. I put some scriptures on the paper and just made up something that, you know, when you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who would trust and obey. I put anything. I put something spiritual on the paper. Guess what? I got a C. But that's crazy. I'm giving them scripture, and I got a C. There's no, they tell you in some of this literature stuff, there's sometimes there's no right or wrong answer as long as you answer. So I just put a C. I refused to read the book and got a C. So they averaged my grade out, and I got a B. I got an A in grammar. I got a C in literature. So my grade was a B. And at that time, I was making straight A's as a young man, and so I got a B in English. Why? Not because I didn't know English. I got a B in English because I refused to read Harry Potter books of the day. Then when I got to college, same denomination, they said we had to read Emily Dickinson. The teacher told us the background of Emily Dickinson. She was having an imaginary affair with a married man, and that's what she was writing about. Why should Christians study the writing of a woman who's having an imaginary affair with a married man? How is that going to help us into the kingdom? But they say, well, you know, we have to do it to get our degrees, and it's part of accreditation. Then don't be accredited. Oh, but we got to be like the world. Jesus didn't go to their schools. The Bible says of him in John 7:15, it says, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? We prize the wrong thing. I don't care what you say. You know, I had one teacher, and I'll be honest with you, some of my, you know, schools I went to were predominantly Caucasian schools, and some were not. But the ones that were, I had generally a good reputation, and I had a principal. And when he found out that I was not going to continue in that educational system, he railed on me, and this is what he said. He said, I thought that you were going to be the first general conference president that we would ever have. And he said, now that, he's just trying to, you know, play on my emotions, but he didn't know where I stood with that, okay? So he said, but now if I ever have to vote, I can't vote you in because you don't have a degree. And I said to him, I said, and if God wants me to be the general conference president, and I know he didn't, then if you don't vote for me, you have to answer to God. Okay? And the bottom line is that's the last thing I would want to be. The point being made, brothers and sisters, is we prize the wrong thing. We prize the wrong thing. We tell our children, I remember sitting in a church, and the pastor said, we need to, he said two things. He said, you know, you young people doing nothing, you guys need to go and get your college degree. And he said, if you need some tuition money, so-and-so over there with the chicken business, he's hiring right now. And he said, you know, you all could just go over there and get a job and you can get some tuition money. So stop, get off your lazy behinds and get over there. And this is what the pastor was telling the young people. Then when it came time for prayer, he said, listen, we need to pray for that chicken business. It just got robbed. Now, I don't think he heard what he said. You're sending your children over to a place that wants to hire your children, and they are the victims of armed robbery. That's the kind of foolishness, brothers and sisters, that we have because we push people to have degrees. I'm here to tell you, I know this is totally not popular, but you know what? The truth of the gospel is totally not popular. It's not popular to be plant-based. That's not popular, but it cures cancer and arthritis and diabetes and hypertension and lupus and so many other conditions. But it's not popular, brothers and sisters. It's not popular to go and use natural remedies from people that may not have degrees in medicine. That's not popular. But I tell you what, the success rate, if they're using the live-free lifestyle, is 10 times, 100-fold greater than what you'll find in a hospital. Okay? It's not popular. It's not popular not to get something shot in your arm. But I'm here to tell you, just to show you, brothers, so this is on nightly news yesterday. Go to nightly news yesterday. Yes? No, no. So we watched it yesterday. So it would have been two nights ago. Two nights ago on nightly news, they brought back the woman, and there was this famous thing. It went all over the internet. The lady was a nurse, got a shot, and this is just on the news, okay, got a shot and fainted on live TV, okay? And so the conspiracy theorist said she died because she just kind of got went off the radar, so to speak, and nobody could find her. She didn't give any speeches or anything like that, and so they said she died. Well, they brought her back to say she didn't die. She was trying to show the conspiracy theory people that they were wrong. And in the broadcast, she actually said, people need to understand that some people faint when you get a vaccine. I'm just telling you what the lady said. It's on the news. So if you want to say I'm speaking wrong, this is just on the news, okay? She said when people get that, they faint. Some people. That's what the nurse said. And I just want you to think about that. And I just want you to think about it. That's all I want you to do. She said some people pass out when they get that. All I'm asking you to do is think about that statement, okay? Now, I want to ask a question. Is it a known fact that people faint when they eat collard greens? Is it a known fact that people faint when they eat apples and oranges and grapefruit? Is it a known fact that people faint when they eat pinto beans and brown rice? Okay? Just think about these questions. That's all I'm asking you to do is think about them. Okay? I'm not here to say don't take a vaccine. I'm just wanting you to think about what the nurse said and what they put on the news. That's all it is. Just think about it. Okay? Now, let's keep moving forward, brothers and sisters. All I'm trying to tell you is the world is backwards, okay? And the world will send you into situations and places. And we often said, and now I'm not telling you to keep your kids on the street. I'm telling you that we need to be training our children in the admonition of the Lord. And that doesn't mean that they have to have a worldly degree, my brothers and sisters. I will tell you, when I left that system and I did not pursue it to the level of a degree, I chose to do what they did in the Bible, and I learned trades. So I became a home improvement contractor, and I supported my family, brothers and sisters, with home improvement. I learned a little bit of carpentry and drywall and flooring and plumbing and electrical and roofing, and I did a little bit of everything except masonry work, okay, and would have learned that had I stayed in it. The point being made, brothers and sisters, is that it was character building, and it made me the man who I am, and therefore I can stand, and I'm not going to tell you a lie to make sure I don't lose my job. No conference president can intimidate me and say, if you teach this, you're not going to keep your job, because even if I had a job with them, then if you fire me, I have had a training, the same one Jesus had, and I could go support myself the way the disciples, some of them, had to do. Paul made tents, okay? Peter was fish, they were fishermen. Jesus was a carpenter, and that was education, and it helped make them the men that they actually were, friends. And so study Psalm 15. We're not going to be able to go through that whole thing. Let's get back to James chapter 3. I'm just trying to help us understand with the help of the Lord that we need to be careful what we say and speak positive, and don't be quick to listen to evil reports and stop gossiping about people. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Okay, we've got to keep moving forward here. All right, let's see here. And I think you all understand that for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents, of things in the sea is tamed, and that be tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So if it's tamed, the Holy Spirit has to tame it, because you can't tame your own tongue, brothers and sisters. If you have a problem with saying the wrong thing, ask God to tame your tongue. He can tame it. No man can tame it. You're a man, or mankind, that includes women. You can't tame your tongue. God has to do it. Therewith we bless God. Remember, you can do positive things, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. You bless God, and you curse somebody made in God's image. That just shows you we're full of duplicity. We're double-minded. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom, meekness of wisdom. But if we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. You see, what happens, what comes out of the mouth shows what's in your heart. So if you're always gossiping with your mouth, that means your heart is corrupt. And the Bible tells us a lot of times somebody's talking about you because they want what you have. It's envying and strife. That's the problem in the church, brothers and sisters. And so when you don't have what somebody else has, you try to tear them down. The wisdom, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to give our hearts to you and take away, as you take away the envy and pride and anger, then our tongues will respond with sweet, lovely words that lift people up to the kingdom of heaven. We pray that you will help us to repent. We are gossipers. If we take up reproaches and help us to make things right, if we have, we ask that you would bless us now with your spirit and keep us in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take a little break, brothers and sisters. Come back, and Sister Lenny will have our health message, and the message will be entitled, All Being Proved. At this time, we'll hear the torso song for our brief intermission.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know. God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso. the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Corso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. At this time, we'll hear from Sister Lenny, All Being Proved. Sister Lenny? Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. I opened the wrong microphone. There we go. Sorry about that.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. All being proved. It is of great importance that individually we act well our part and have an intelligent understanding of what we should eat and drink and how we should live to preserve health. All are being proved to see whether they will accept the principles of health reform or follow a course of self-indulgence. Let no one think that he can do as he pleases in the matter of diet. But before all who sit at the table with you, let it appear that you follow principle in the matter of eating, as in all other matters, that the glory of God may be revealed. You cannot afford to do otherwise, for you have a character to form for the future immortal life. Great responsibilities rest upon human soul. Let us comprehend these responsibilities and bear them nobly in the name of the Lord. To everyone who is tempted to indulge appetite, I would say, yield not to temptation, but confine yourself to the use of wholesome foods. You can train yourself to enjoy a healthful diet. The Lord helps those who seek to help themselves. But when men will not take special pains to follow out the mind and will of God, how can he work with them? Let us act our part, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling, lest we make mistakes in the treatment of our bodies, which, before God, we are under obligation to keep in the most healthful condition possible. This morning's health reading is coming from Counsels on Diet and Foods, page 34. Thank you so much, and may you be blessed by God today with the understanding of what you should eat and drink to preserve your health. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to begin by saying we have Brother Peyton who answered the question for me. I didn't remember who the fourth baby was, but he gave it to us in order. So I'm going to just read his comment. Thank you, Brother Peyton. It says, remember we were talking about David had to be punished fourfold. He said that the rich man should pay fourfold back. So he lost four of his sons. So the baby, and that's the baby that he that Bathsheba would bear for him, the baby died. Amnon, who raped his half-sister, remember that? Absalom, who took vengeance on Amnon because that was his full sister, and he died after rebelling against his father. And Adonijah, who ended up dying because he tried to take the throne away from Solomon. So thank you very much for that. We have North Carolina on the line on Facebook. We have Virginia on Facebook. We have South Carolina on Facebook. And we also, unless I'm misunderstanding what I'm seeing, we actually have a new person from Delaware. So you are welcome. And I'm taking note of your phone number. So if you get a call from a 706 number, it's just a welcome call. We welcome you to the ministry, to the broadcast. So thank you for joining us. So look out for that call, dear one. So we have Delaware. We will say Delaware is well aware today. Amen. We have Maryland on the line. We have Ohio on the line. We have Iowa. We have Georgia. We have Ohio again. And we have the beautiful island of Bermuda. We're your servants here in Pennsylvania, brothers and sisters. And so the phone lines are open. We have a few minutes before the top of the hour. We got 10. That's plenty of time. We could have 10 testimonies, 1 minute each. Who will be first to ask the question, give a testimony, a prayer request, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Maybe share what how you were blessed today. And so who will be first? Just press star 6. That's how you get on the call to be on the, you know, on the, to be heard, I should say. You're on the call to be heard. And if there is anyone on Facebook, just type any comment or question that you have in the comments, and we'll read them. All right, who'll be first? Is there anyone that has anything to share? I want to remind you that, real quickly, hold on a second. those of you who have yet to get your copy of the Biblical Booster, Boosting the Immunity of Our Global Community, here it is. You can still do Torso 15. Go to biblicalbooster.org, Torso 15. That's the coupon code. So if you don't have your copy, please pick it up. It is full of original poetry by yours truly. It has 322 pages. It's an easy read. It has 180 color pictures. It has over 180 color pictures, over 150 QR codes. So it's probably the most interactive book in the world, but it's definitely the most interactive book on that subject. So you, if I say you'll, like, remember earlier in the broadcast, I was telling you that some things that were said on the news, if I say that in the book, you'll see a QR code. You'll be able to go right to it and watch what I'm saying to verify that what I am telling you is the truth. It's a very well-written book, brothers and sisters. I believe you'll be blessed. So that being said, if you don't have a copy, reach out. It's $15 off. The book is $60. This funds a campaign that we have to boost the immunity of our global community. And we actually go and travel and speak, and sometimes we're not able to be compensated even for the gas. And so, but because people purchase the books, we can get funding to help spread the word. We live in a society where we need to know how to boost our immune systems because more pandemics will come. That's a guarantee. And the future ones will be worse than COVID, my friend. So that being said, may God bless you. If there is anyone, we all wanted to let you know you can go to torso.org, and there's lots of things to learn about the ministry. That's our flagship website, torso.org. And there's products. We have herbs in liquid extract. They're on sale, but you have to put torso20 in to get 20% off, to torso20 in the coupon code. So every herbal extract, instead of $25, is actually $20. So it doesn't cover everything in the store, but it does cover the herbal extracts. All right. Want to mention to you that we do wellness coaching. So if you are sick and you want us to help you, write a program for you to follow, coach you on that program indefinitely, and provide at least a couple of months of the key herbs that you need, that's wellness coaching. And we also do have a wellness retreat. So we're in the month. It's getting warmer. If people want to attend a wellness retreat, contact us. You're here for 10 full days. That we don't count the day you come. We don't count the day you leave. You're here for 10 full days, and we help you with your health. And we also provide opportunities for medical missionaries to be trained, or people to be trained to be medical missionaries. So we can't train any medical missionaries if we don't have any health guests. So if you know somebody that's sick that wants to come, needs to come, please have them get in touch with us, my friends. All right. God bless you. If you'd like to support Torso, one more thing. These broadcasts, of course, those on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, they're on my timeline. But also, they are pulled and put on a website, and that web address is torwm.org. So these are archived there. If you want to go back and listen, there is a playback number. If you want to do it on the phone, call me or text me, and I will give you the playback number. But usually within 24 hours, today's broadcast will be on torwm.org. But, of course, it's on my timeline for today's date on Facebook. That being said, my brothers and sisters, we will go ahead and turn it over to my wife to close us out.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. And now as we go about our day, we ask that your spirit will continue to lead, guide, direct, and instruct us, Lord. We pray that you will bless every heart on this line in a special way as we continue to keep our private and silent petitions before you, knowing that you are working them out in accordance with your perfect will. Bless us on this day as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, and in the world to come, each alive.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.